The Jay Stevens Podcast is 5 years old, and we have never done a show like what we're going to enjoy today. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, and I said, there is no way your boy's going to root for the Knicks and pick the Knicks to win that series. And I was correct. The Pacers beat the Knicks in Madison Square Garden in Game 7 to advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. I like it. I love it. And I want some more of it. I'm also glad everyone is here for a special episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. Episode 296 is dedicated to a man who on May 20th, 1991 was named the MVP of the NBA in the 1990-1991 season. Mr. Michael Jordan, and as always, I'd like to thank you for listening and downloading this special episode of the Jay Stevens Podcast. During today's show, my guy, our guy, Mo Murphy of the Up in Flames Podcast, the Off the Ball Network, and the Believe Network as well will be joining us to dive into his podcasting career, why he got started, some issues he had early on, and some things that he said were terrible and were really bad, but also how he got to cover the Dallas Mavericks for the Believe Network. Mo and I have done a lot of shows together here and also for Locked On Buckeyes as well. But we have never done a show like what we're going to have today. So sit back, relax, and let's go ahead and take a trip to the Lone Star State to enjoy my fun conversation with Mo Murphy of the Off the Ball Network and the Believe in Mavs podcast. Today's guest and I have done a lot of different shows together, mainly touching on the Ohio State Buckeyes. They've been some good ones. They've been some even better ones. And there have been some debates where him and I do not agree. But today's a first for myself and Mo Murphy of the Believe Network and the Off the Ball Network, where we're going to dive into his career as a podcaster, why he started, and why he took a recent opportunity to kind of get his name out there on a bigger platform. But Mo Murphy, bro, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we're doing this show. And like I said earlier, I don't know what's going to come up because we've done so many shows, but none like this one. So I'm excited to kind of dive into this today.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what's crazy is I just want to point this out. Like, I know this is being recorded on a Sunday. All these game sevens are happening. But what I find crazy is who's playing in a game seven, because what people don't realize is when Up in Flames first started, Jay was my second guest ever on the show. We talked the Indianapolis Colts. We talked the Indiana Pacers. And so now, years later, we're discussing basically from that time all the way up until now what I've done in podcasting. And the Indiana Pacers got an opportunity to go to the Eastern Conference Finals on the same day that we're talking about basically where it all started from the beginning.
Dog, it's crazy, man. This is being recorded before that Game 7 is being played. So people are like, what do y'all know what the outcome? No, I'm not going to touch on that. We're not going to do it at all. But Mo and I have done a lot of shows. But I generally have had a thought mode where I look at, hey, Ian Eagle, hey, a local guy in Greg Regstraw, what has your broadcasting career been like? Why did you get started? All of those things. And then I got this weird idea, pretty good idea in my head. How about I get my boys on the show to dive into their careers, why they got started? Their platforms aren't on TNT yet, aren't on a big network, on a radio station, Indianapolis yet, local radio. But we've just been all doing the same thing, trying to figure our way through this podcasting game to figure out our careers and things like that and what the next move might be. But Mo, let's go back in time a little bit. Why did you start podcasting and start the Up in Flames podcast?
Man, I'm going to be honest, bro. I didn't want to. I never had plans to. I say I never had plans on having a sports talk show, a podcast, none of that. I'm not even going to lie. When the podcast wave first happened, I ain't listened to a podcast. I had no idea about podcasts until Rob Cruz of the Football and Chill podcast is the person who ever made me even think about talking on a podcast. And it was, we played flag football together. I was the quarterback for the team while we was in the Navy. And he decided that he was going to start a podcast. So boom, I hit him up. Hey bro, if you ever need a guest, I love talking sports. He was like, dang, for real? I go to his house. We record a couple episodes throughout a couple weeks. When he first started Football and Chill, I was on like once a week, would come to his house, we'd record in his man cave. And then he kind of was like, you know, Jeff became like the first fan. Jeff was the first person I ever talked on a microphone and got feedback from. Jeff, and as cool as me and Jeff are now, I had no idea who this dude was at all. And he's like, man, I don't know who this dude Mo Murphy is, but that man might be a star one day. I'm a fan. I'm his first fan. And then, you know, I've developed relationships with Jeff and Chris and Rob. Ever since then, me and Rob already had a relationship being in the Navy together. So, yeah, it was just one of those kind of being a guest. And Rob was like, bro, maybe you should do your own thing. And I talk sports all the time my whole life. Like, being on TV and talking sports was something I wanted to do since I was a kid. Like, it was the either I go to the NBA, NFL, or I'm on the radio talking sports was kind of what I wanted to do. Life hits you. That doesn't happen. But then the podcast game kind of opened up some opportunities to be able to kind of meet and maneuver for the past few years the way I have done up to this point.
It's kind of weird that you hadn't listened to podcasts at all at that point in time, because when podcasts got big, I remember like it just consumed my life. I used to be a sports talk radio guy in the car all the time, do music, but radio was my thing. And then when podcasts kind of got big and I realized I might not be able to catch a show on TV, but I can catch it in a playback form on a podcast, cool. But then Jemele Hill and Michael Smith had the His and Hers podcast. The other podcast that I got, I was gravitated towards, Bomani Jones, his. I was like, oh, so y'all don't have to be on radio. Y'all don't have to be on TV to put this art, to put this form of media out there. And this is way before I even started podcasting. And I'm like, man, this is fun. This is enjoyable. But it's kind of interesting hearing you say that you hadn't listened to a podcast before you started.
Yeah, bro. I swear to God, when I seen Rob say something about starting a podcast, like I had heard through the grapevine people were doing podcasts and I knew about like the His and Her. And I'm not going to lie to you. Like I was such a, like in the car, I only listen to music. Like I wasn't listening to the radio. I wasn't listening to podcast, nothing. I'm only listening to music. Never ride in silence. And then like, kind of when people started getting podcasts, I'm not going to lie, I wasn't so against mainstream media. So I was still big, watch First Take, watch Skip and Shannon Undisputed. Like I would wake up, watch First Things First while I'm getting dressed to go to work, you know, for the military, like all that stuff. So like that was my routine. And so when these people started breaking off and getting podcasts to kind of make you refer away from ESPN, refer away. It wasn't none of the people that I was a major fan of.
Okay.
Like, no offense to them, but it wasn't. Had Stephen A. branched off in 2015, I probably would have been listening to a podcast. Had some of the ones that I kind of grew up admiring had broke off and had podcast, like I probably would have checked it out. But up until I started a podcast, I didn't listen because I just wasn't interested in podcast, period. I really wasn't interested in what anybody had anything to say other than like mainstream media, and then conversation I would have with people, whether it was who I worked with, people I was on the ship with, homeboys that I would be out in the smoke pit with. We would talk 20 minutes every day, basketball. Like other than that, though, I didn't really have interest in other people's opinions. So, yeah, I wasn't really hip to listening. And then once I started doing a podcast, now you're on the Apple Podcast page, you're on the Spotify page. So now you start realizing who all has podcasts. You're like, Jesus Christ, everybody that I could possibly care about, rappers, singers, it doesn't matter. They all got podcasts and they're all holding conversations. So that's what me starting a podcast is what even got me introduced into being a fan of other people's podcasts.
What year did you start the Other Place podcast?
The worst time you could ever start a podcast.
Oh, bro.
2020, right after the NBA shutdown.
Oh, bro.
2020, I had everything together. Well, I lied. I started right before the NBA shut down. So I had everything together. I go buy a laptop and microphone and boom, like invest in yourself. Like basically spend $1,000 to get all this equipment. Make, you know, I knew how to work GarageBand and stuff like that up until that point. So I start, get a couple fire episodes going. And mind you, you go back and listen to them episodes. They were terrible. But they were fire at that point. And then Kobe passed. So you have a podcast there. That was tough. That was actually like the second episode I ever had Kobe pass. And then I do a couple still learning how to get things going, having conversations. I think, man, I didn't even link. You got to think about it. You were one of my first guests. I didn't link up with you till after COVID happened. We was all
really?
We were all sitting in the houses. COVID had already happened before you and me, like had already started before you and me had a conversation. Like the NBA wasn't going on while you and me had a conversation. Because I had back-to-back guests at that time. I had you and I had Stephen Gillespie in like back-to-back days. And yeah, it was more so everything other than COVID and your sports teams and kind of what made you get into it. Like those were the conversations because, yeah, sports wasn't going when I first started from what? I started at the end of January, Kobe passes, COVID start in beginning of March. I mean, what, basketball didn't start back up until July?
July.
I mean, so we had, I had no content. Essentially, I'm just getting on there talking. I'm seeing all these lists. Nobody had content. So you're trying to be creative. And you just, until The Last Dance came out, I had nothing to talk about. I'm just trying to learn how to be able to do this, get an audience while also having nothing to talk about. It was the toughest time to try and figure out how to do a podcast.
Bro, I'm laughing because I'm thinking back to that time period. And this is on the Jay Stevens podcast. I went on this like 3-minute rant. This podcast ain't going to die. I'm going to find something to talk about. There's a MVP race. There's this, there's that. I'm looking back. I'm like, I didn't have no idea what I was. And this is a year in, Mo. This is a year after I started. I'm trying to be all bold and like, yeah, we're not going nowhere. Stick around here. We're going to have the same old guests. We're going to have the same old thing. I didn't know what I was doing, bro. Nothing at all. And this is like, this is before I even started getting assistance from other people that have been podcasting longer than me to get some help on, hey, maybe do this or maybe do that. It's way before that. I'm going off of, they got SportsCenter on TV. They got The Last Dance. They got sports movies. I'll be fine. It's crazy, man, because 2020, that COVID year was a wild. Like, you mentioned Kobe. You mentioned a shutdown. You mentioned the NBA coming back. Bro, if it wasn't for The Last Dance, we may have still had shows, but it may have been more like rewatch a game or something like that, just because we just had to figure it out on the fly.
Bro, right before The Last Dance, bro, I'm not going to lie. There was a point in time where I thought about shutting down Up in Flames as quick as it started. Because I'm like, dog, like, I don't, you know, and at the point in time, like, hindsight, you're like, well, the NBA returned. Everything came back at perfect time. But in hindsight, in the middle of May, you're sitting here and there might not be an NBA season until next year. Like, right. And football ain't going to start till September regardless. Like, and we don't even know if football is going to start on time. So like, you have all of these things and you're trying to create content. And you're like, man, what'd I even get started for? Like, what was the point in even getting started? But then like The Last Dance gave you like, okay, cool. The whole world is sitting there watching The Last Dance on a Sunday. You go on Monday. Everybody cares. You got the old school guys who got opinions. It's nostalgia for them. It makes some of the guys around my age really understand the impact that Jordan had when we were born, the 92, 93, 94, 95, 96 people that were born. Like, you understand Jordan's impact because you didn't live through it. Like, I got to tell people got to remember, like, I'm almost 30, but the Jordan I remember is the Washington Wizards. Like, at the end of the day, like, I knew who Michael Jordan was. I knew the impact. He was a world superstar by the time I remember him, but I remember the Michael Jordan Wizards. So to be able to see The Last Dance and get a new, like, inside look at what it was like to watch that Bulls team, what the temperature in the world at that time, the environment basketball had on the world. So, like, it was one of those, everything came in perfect timing, and Last Dance probably saved everybody. I'm going to be honest. I think Last Dance saved everybody, including right before The Last Dance. Remember, it wasn't even supposed to come out yet. Correct. It was, but because of COVID, they decided to drop it that summer. And I still think to this day they dropped it. People can have the LeBron conspiracy theory all they want. Everybody agreed to drop it because all them sports talk shows was about to stop. Mm-hmm. First Take was about to be off air. Undisputed was about, all them shows was about to be off air because they weren't getting enough ratings because there wasn't enough content. To keep traffic coming back to the show. So, like, I think, hey, let's launch The Last Dance and get a bunch of conversation going. We can get the GOAT conversation going. Isaiah Thomas was pissed off during it. Scottie Pippen was promoting his book at a point in time. Like, so all these storylines were attached to this Last Dance that gave content on content on content on content. And so I think The Last Dance really saved media during COVID, if you really think about it.
Oh, man.
Including small-time podcasts like mine.
Oh, dude, it was one of those time periods. And it's interesting that you started it at that time because it was not only difficult, but you learned a lot of valuable lessons during that time period, I'm sure, about how to start a podcast, about how to format a show, about topics to talk about, things that may work, things that may not work. What lessons did you learn in 2020? Because that was a very important time, not only for sports fans, but for you and your show.
Man, I'm going to be honest. As hard as it was to create content during that time, bro, you had a lot of time to learn. Like, was at home. So you had a lot of time to learn. And, like, some people record a show, put it out there, and they'll just get better as time goes because naturally you just get better. You fix the kinks. You get more comfortable behind the mic. But then you have those other people that, like, I go back and listen to the show and, man, that wasn't it. Or, I should keep stuff like that but get rid of certain situations like this. And I'm going to be honest, Jay, like, coming in, just for the simple fact, the one thing I learned is you can authentically be you, but man, to talk some sports and try and really make it, you might have to hide yourself a little bit. And that I was younger, so that I don't care what nobody talking about. You're either gonna accept me for me or just not, and I'll pass up on every opportunity if it's not based on my values and my morals, and it's not, I want to be the way I want to be. So like, I did learn a lot because we had a lot of time, but it was just like, it was, what did you want to learn? Like, you learned in this podcast thing whatever you wanted to learn in that time, because you had a lot of time to sit and learn. There wasn't a lot of content that you had to get to. So I probably say like my biggest thing, bro, was the fact of like, I over-edited shows when I first started, over-edited for sure. I was a terrible host with guests. Like, I didn't know how to move from like, okay, everything goes great. Like, if I'm doing a show and I got Jay Stevens on, okay, cool. I got Jay on. We're going to talk about this, that, and the other. I got everything together. He going to be set up. That's cool. And now I introduce you. We hit the first topic. And then, like, I was terrible at transitioning into something next. I was bad at not being able to transition into a topic based on something you said, because we could be talking about the Ohio State quarterback situation. And the next thing I want to talk about is the running backs. And it was more of a always focus and pay attention to what you say, because you might have said something that's easier for me to segue into the next thing. We could be talking about Ohio State quarterbacks. You'd be like, yeah, and then with the running backs, it's going to make it easier on the quarterbacks. And I learned to, speaking of running backs, Jay, this is the next thing I wanted to talk about with the running back situation at Ohio State. Boom. Like, I had to learn how to be able to do stuff like that because I was terrible at it. Horrible. Like, I feel like I was a terrible guest. And I do appreciate everybody, from you to the first like 10 to 15 guests that actually came back on Up in Flames after their experience as a guest the first time, because I feel like it wasn't the greatest. But you and pretty much everybody else that I still talk to this day since launching that podcast was also like down since day one. So clearly, like, I feel like everybody saw it and like, yeah, he's raw. We're having this conversation. I've been doing it a year. He's been doing it 2 months. Like, I get it, but it wasn't, I clearly wasn't bad enough for y'all not to come back. So I do feel like it wasn't that bad, but I'm my hardest critic, and that's the best thing to be.
You know, man, that first show, I remember it, and I was like, okay, like, I didn't know you. Like, I at the time, when somebody told me, do your best to not say no to anybody ask you to be on their show. It could be a podcast, it could be a radio show, it could be TV, it could be YouTube only, whatever. Do your best not to say no. So I said, cool, like, I don't know, Mo. At the time, I think earlier that year was myself and Chris LeBron and Couch Coach. All of us did a show talking about Kobe. Well, I knew Chris LeBron, didn't know Couch Coach. And so I kept hearing Chris, I didn't know who was who. And this is audio only. We didn't have the video portion. And so talk about that listening portion there. Bro, I'm having to listen and trying to figure out in my ear which Chris is who. So eventually, after a while, I just stopped trying to use names and trying to just like piggyback on things that were said to try to interject my thoughts. But dude, that's so hard. The transition you talk about and to pay attention in a show, that's something that myself, I know you, we struggle with that now and are constantly trying to figure out and learn, man, I did good here. How can I get this better? Okay, this worked. How can I do it better next time? That didn't work. Still, we still did it, but it didn't work. How can we improve? It's very, I think a lot of people don't realize, we like, the average person will listen to a show, watch a show, and be like, oh, they got it. Not realizing the mental hurdles we're jumping over in our head in the moment to try to make sure the show is better.
Yeah, well, bro, 100%. And then I'm going to tell you something, and this is what I know people don't know, but this is how bad the show was at first. Like, this is the learning. This is the growth of Up in Flames there, and me working with Believe and everything. Like, when I had guests, you were one of them. I didn't know anything about recording software. Like, I knew GarageBand. I did know GarageBand, and I knew you could have Zoom. Like, I knew about Zoom. Actually, you were the first person. You were the first guest, you and Steven, that week that I learned about StreamYard and was actually able to... I still didn't fully know how to use StreamYard. Jay, I had you guys on connected to the speaker. I had my speaker, my Bluetooth speaker next to my microphone to pick up y'all as guests so that it would record through GarageBand. I swear to God. Like, because I didn't know how to use all that stuff. So, like, I want to say, bro, I'm not even joking, bro. Yeah. I probably say the first year, like, first 9 months until I got the Rodecaster. I was using a Bluetooth speaker and putting it next to my Yeti microphone so it will pick y'all up loud and clear on GarageBand. I'm not joking, bro. I tell no lies to you. Like, that was, and I had a major guest that I did that with and basically messed up that opportunity. This was, his name's Brian O'Ringer. He's actually ended up being one of the most hated, like, former scouts and people that worked inside the NBA ever. I didn't know this at the time, but I knew he had a bunch of followers, a bunch of interactions, and I messaged him to jump on the show, and he jumped on. And, bro, mind you, I'm not evaluating. Like, this is an NBA, former NBA scout, worked directly with the Washington Wizards. Bro, I got him. He's like, man, I hear a lot of static, da-da-da. And it, like, ruined the whole episode. And I'm sitting here like, oh, well. Like, it is what it is. Like, it might have been a really great episode, but because I had to learn how to be able to produce a show and get the best audio quality and sound quality. I'm not going to lie. Until I bought the Rodecaster, like, all of the quality of sound was probably terrible. Outside of my sound, because I was coming through my microphone plugged up to the computer. Other than that, like, a lot of that audio was probably terrible. I haven't gone back and listened to the beginning episodes in quite some time, and I probably won't. I just go ahead and move off the growth from it and let it be.
Hey, so that process you speak of about learning how to produce a show and going from your ghetto setup previously.
Yeah, my ghetto. There you go.
To what you currently use now. What did you do to figure things out?
I paid attention to y'all, to be honest. Like, I feel like this episode, it's like you're breaking down barriers of me and my, like, because I haven't told a lot of people this. Like, I don't talk about this, but yeah, I learned from y'all. I learned from every person that I had as a guest up to that point. All y'all had been doing it longer than me.
Yeah.
And I genuinely supported the content too.
Yeah.
So, like, after I had you on as a guest, I was a genuine listener. I was an avid listener, fan from there on out. Like,
yeah.
Jay drops, I'm listening. Same with Jeff, Chris, Steven, like, all these great guys. And so I learned, like, what is it that Jay's doing that I'm not doing? Because his show sounds so much better than mine. And it wasn't hating. It was just like, man, but he's been doing this for a year and a half. Yeah. So, but let me see what's the difference. Let me pick apart all the great things from everybody's show and see what is it that they're doing that I'm not doing that I could improve. And I kind of took the minor things, all the great things from everybody and kind of embodied it into Up in Flames. And that's how I was able to learn from even y'all's mistakes in a sense. Like when y'all, I've been in a year in, okay, what mistakes is a guy that's been in for a year making? Because I'm only in 2 months. If he making mistakes in a year, then that's okay. Cause his show is great. All right. So I even felt like being able to talk to some of you guys, I was able to avoid certain mistakes because we started developing relationships. I could reach out to y'all if I ever need help.
Yeah.
So I couldn't make graphics. I couldn't do none of that. And everybody started teaching me how to do stuff. So it was like, I just genuinely became, I think the biggest thing is becoming a fan of other people. And then nobody ever had a problem reaching out or helping me out because like I was genuinely a fan of everybody, especially once I had you on the show. Like, so that was the thing, was just learning from people that were, especially at that time, bro, learning from people that were better than me, flat out. Like, it was just paying attention to the people that are better than me, respecting the craft, respect the people that's been doing it longer than I have, and let me learn from them. And I treated y'all like professionals, and I learned from the professionals. That's how I looked at it.
Mo, throughout this whole period, you have a family, you're married, you mentioned a few times you were in the Navy. So it's not like, so one thing that you and I have in common is we never done anything in media full time. It's always media, podcast with other jobs plus family. I have recently gotten married. My son's going to be welcoming my wife and I will have our first child, welcoming him into the world in a couple of months, about a month and a half from now. It's really crazy how fast it's gone.
It is. It's like July right around the corner. Like, you just told me not too long ago. She just found out you were pregnant now. Like, 6 weeks, my kid's going to be here. Like, time goes by.
And so this whole period, I don't talk about this, really. I don't know if you do either. I don't want to talk about, like, having to juggle work and podcasting because I'm not trying to look for any sympathy. Like, I don't hear people be like, oh, well, your show was bad because you're doing X, Y, or Z. It's extra. I'm not looking for that. But I know through your period, I don't know if you talk about it either, but there's a lot of things you're juggling throughout this entire period. How have you been able to manage your life with your family? I know you just got out of the military, transition into a new job, but also keeping up with not only Up in Flames, the stuff going on with the Off the Ball Network you do, but also the Believe in Mavs. you're juggling a lot of stuff, doing it, doing your shows very well, but I can only imagine how difficult it is for you, Mo.
Man, it's really not that difficult. Okay. I only say that because of what I'm about to say. Bro, you got to find the right partner, bro. Mm. That matters. Like, if you're going to have, like, where you're in the Navy and you're married, so if you're going to have to balance being a husband, a father, an employee for somebody else, on top of, you know, you're self-employed doing the Jay Stevens podcast, on top of the employee being for Locked On Buckeyes. So it sounds like a lot to juggle, but, like, if you're able to chase your dream and the right partner supports it, it's easy.
Yeah.
If it's nothing for you to go in there at 6 o'clock in the afternoon and let your wife know that you record an hour show and she hold down the kids at dinner, whatever else it is, while you're in there doing it, then it makes it easy. And so it's not that difficult. Like, and sometimes it is when you're talking about consistency too. Because you might mess around. I might mess around, record up at Flamesboro and not record for another 3 weeks, especially with doing, just trying to balance doing everything, finding the right time to drop an episode. Maybe you don't have enough to be able to talk solo, but then now you're trying to figure out a good time for a guest. And then it's easier to plan out a week from now with a guest, but you need to put some. So, like, the consistency is a tough thing. I don't care how, you know, the more you have on your plate, the harder it is to be consistent. But if you got the right partner and doing all that and you're married and this and that, then it makes it easier. And so, like, that's been the reason. Like, if she didn't support this and kind of treat it as, like, my dream and this is what he loves doing, this is passion, and she didn't support it like that, then I wouldn't be able to do none of this. Up in Flames would probably be dead in the water. Believe in Matt. Me doing something with Believe in Matt wouldn't even be a thing. And I'd just be, you know, your regular person working a good job, making good money, and living a regular life. Like, that's what it would be if I didn't have somebody that supported what I say is a dream, essentially. Being on this media side is a dream. And yeah, it's the grind right now. Yeah, at the bottom. It's cool, but I'll only be at the bottom for so long.
Have you ever had your wife on your show?
No, actually, no. And we talked about it.
Okay.
I did talk about it at one point in time, but no. Like, and she's not the most, like, it'd be different. We could have these type of conversations, but as far as, she's not the most vocal when it comes to, like, put a camera on her and now she had a microphone. Like, now it's pressured conversation. It's not natural. Yeah. So it's not necessarily something we talked about it, but no, I never did. I had my daughter on though. I did have my daughter on the podcast before. Yeah.
What was that like? Tell me about that.
It was more so one of those, like, I go in the room and do the podcast. Like, and I was doing a lot. It was like right around the NFL draft. This was like a couple of years ago. She was three about to be four, or she had just turned four. But she would always, I'd leave my podcast on, like, leave my roadcaster on and stuff. So she would go talking to the mic. She'd play with some of the stuff. So one day I just said, you know what? Put it on Facebook, do a live show with my daughter and just let her put the headphones on, talking to the microphone and entertain whoever got comments. It was mainly a family thing, man. But people enjoyed it though. Like, there was people on Twitter, like homeboys that watched it, people I was doing podcasts with, was like, man, that's cool. Like, just to take a step back and just kind of put the camera on your daughter and let her do her thing was like, it was cool. So yeah, but I never had my wife on though.
Oh man.
And I don't think
I'm waiting for it.
Will. I don't know it. I don't know if she will.
Okay.
I don't know. And it's not a, she wouldn't be on because the lack of support for Up in Flames or anything. It's just her. She's not to give her a mic and watch what she do with a type of person where I am. So it's, you know, just different sides of the, what is it? The social spectrum, I guess you could say. Complete
opposite. It's not easy, man. Like, it's truly not easy to do this. I remember speaking about not so much being in front of a camera and having a microphone. When I first started, Mo, I was an audio only person. And I told myself, I will do my best to never be on TV, to never be on YouTube. Now, that was very stupid of me. I would gladly be on TV now. Yeah. I am currently on YouTube, as you know.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I don't want, because I didn't want to put my face on TV because I'm good. Dude, if I'm doing a show and it's just me and the audio, my computer's up recording, I'm not looking at the screen. I can look at the wall and my thoughts start flowing so well. Being forced to look straight this way, it was a mental hurdle for me to get over. So I do completely understand why your wife may not want to ever be or may never be on the podcast, because this is difficult. It's very, very hard to speak into a microphone, speak clearly, let your thoughts flow, to listen, to be patient, but then also be able to quickly transition. it's hard. And so I understand why women or wives or anybody may say, no, I don't want to hop on a show because it's not easy to do this.
Bro, it's, listen, controlled conversation is not easy. No. Like, and I had to find that out, like telling you all the kinks. And man, I thought it was as simple as buy a microphone, a laptop, some get some recording software, put it out there in the podcast world, and boom, like my voice will resonate with millions of people. Like it seems like that easy, but it's not. And then it's controlled conversation. So it's not just get a mic, conversate for an hour, put it out and see what people think. Like you do want to have those smooth transitions. You want the conversation to be smooth for the listener. You have to think about that as your own producer. Your guests, the thing is too, your guests never have to think about that.
No,
like it's easier to have guests that have podcasts. Like it's easier to have you on that. You do your show, you do Locked On Buckeyes. So you fully understand that. So you're coming as it's a different preparation as a guest because you're also, you have your producer mind cap on for the show. Somebody that doesn't have their podcast or whatever, like a controlled conversation is a lot harder because now that is solely on you. Like that is solely your responsibility to make sure this conversation is smooth for your platform. And so like, it's not easy. Like, yeah, like I said, it's not easy. And it wasn't, I thought it was easy because I could talk, I could yell, I'm loud. I could be the center of attention, no problem. It's a lot different when you put a camera in front of you, you look dead at that camera and you're literally sitting in an empty room talking to nobody but that camera. And you don't know when you're done producing that show, you don't know how many eyes are going to be on that other side of the camera. That's something you have to not care about too. That's something is if you was going to do this, you got to love it and just love it for doing it and make this a passion. Don't plan on making this your livelihood in a sense, as far as your sole means of income. That I feel like if you're good enough, it will come eventually.
Yes.
But at the same time, like make sure this is a passion that you love to do first before you pursue it professionally for the simple fact, man, it's not easy.
No,
it's not easy. And you have to love doing this. I don't care if you get paid $1 million a year to do it. You have to love doing this to be able to do it because it's quality, good content that has to go out in the air. You have 3, 4, 5 bad episodes in a row and you're getting paid to do this, man, you lose your job. Like you have a bad week at your job, you might lose your job. And so if you treat it as a passion, if you love doing what you're doing, you very rarely have a bad day. I mean, you love your wife hardly ever. I guarantee y'all don't have that many bad days. Mm-mm. You have them because you're a human. She's, but because you have passion of being sure she's good, you don't have that many bad days. So like it's the passion and love has to be there. This can't be a casual thing. And so I think the best thing is to start a podcast and see how much you actually love doing this by yourself in a room with no eyes on you. Can you still give it 100% and produce quality content before you try and step into the professional world of this? And I think podcast has made media slightly better because some of these seasoned people, now I might be able to listen to Jay Stevens, who's covered the Buckeyes for, I don't know how long you've been doing Locked On Buckeyes. It seemed like a damn long time, almost as long as I've known you. But at that, you now get an opportunity you wouldn't have got 10 years ago. Yeah. You wouldn't have been on Locked On Buckeyes without no 4-year degree in communications, putting you on YouTube as the face of the for a network for the Buckeye. You would have never got that opportunity. But now you did this for years and years and it's quality and it's good. I get to weigh you for what you've done and what you've put out for. I don't have to weigh you on potential no more. You were hiring people fresh out of college based on potential and you don't know what their potential is. But when you give me 3 years of quality content, you're just as seasoned as anybody else. You have experience. And so you gain that experience. And so now I think it does make media a little bit better because some of these people that are starting to pop are actually people that went through the grind of podcasts, but they love the craft. They study the craft and you could tell like this is a craft. It's no different than being a rapper. People get in the studio and rap right for nothing, hoping that they make it. What's the difference with a podcast? I tell people I got homeboys, you give them a mic, they make music. You give me a mic and I make magic talking sports. Like, I'm different with a microphone, just like some of the other rappers. I'm just not rapping. I'm not making music. Don't give me a beat and think I'm a flow, but give me a couple sports topics and I could give you a Lil Wayne or Drake type episode like that. When they lay down the track, it's no different. I just feel like you give me a microphone, I do something different. I'm just not a rapper.
What are some of your favorite topics you've touched on your show?
Man. I mean, I'm going to be honest, bro. Like, the love that you were able to receive from, man, pretty much everybody I had on the podcast in the beginning after Kobe passed.
Yeah.
I feel like that was because we were able to take stop talking about Kobe the player for a second.
Yeah.
And stop talking about Kobe in the past and the reason why you may have disliked this player, because Kobe, before he passed, became one of the most it was a complete 360 of how he became post-career, became one of the most likable athletes ever. I wasn't even the biggest Kobe fan as far as a player. But I loved Kobe. And then so I say the Kobe conversations, man. I say the NFL draft stuff was always exciting too. Like round draft time, that's when you get everybody juices flowing and you start being able to pick apart people's intelligence. Like
yeah.
When you're talking draft, it's what have you accumulated about this player over the past 3 or 4 years? Not let me talk to you about what happened on Sunday's slate of games. And we all saw a lot of the same things. It's not a lot to obtain. We're talking about individual players that you have to gather years of information on to be able to tell me why this guy will be a good fit for this team or not. And so I think anything draft related for sure was definitely something I enjoy. I mean, I pretty much enjoy every episode I do, regardless of what it is, because I'm not recording if it's something I don't want to talk about. I'm not like, you're not going to go on Up in Flames and hear me talk about all the casual stuff that we don't want to hear from First Take and all that. I'm not going to be like, hey, like the other day with the Stephen A, could he score a point on LeBron James?
That was stupid.
I'm not
so dumb.
I'm not having those conversations. And so like, it's, anytime I get on this microphone, like I enjoy it. So it's hard to pick out. Like I don't have a favorite guest. I got too many, and I probably have a great moment from every guest. If I line them up, I couldn't, they 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, like it's all one. So it's tough to really say like my favorite moments, cause I've just enjoyed everything about it, including the beginning where I could go back and laugh. Now it's like a bigger joke, but I've just enjoyed everything.
Mo, one thing that I've enjoyed, and we're not done with this conversation yet. I got some more stuff I want to hit on. But, bro, I've really enjoyed you coming on Locked On Buckeyes. And so I try to personalize the things I say when you come on the show as far as introducing you to the show. As somebody say, my guy, our guy, Mo Murphy. I don't say my guy because you and I are cool and you know this. Like, we're boys. But I'm going to say our guy because people that are watching the show or listening to the show, ever since after that first time you came on, like, oh, Mo knows his stuff. Mo is good to listen to. He's enjoyable. He'll crack a joke every now and then. And so I want to say our collectively, because on the show, on Locked On Buckeyes, people love, like, I stopped teasing stuff because people may have to cancel for scheduling or whatever, like kids like you have. So, like, I understand, like, I don't want to tease a guest for whatever reason the day before unless it's already recorded. But once people hear your name, you're coming on the show, and when I'm able to tease it a little bit because it's already recorded, people get excited, people enjoy it, and people flood the comments like, yeah, I'm glad Mo is back. Speaking of them comments, Mo, we had a conversation before the show about something we did this year about Ohio State's quarterbacks, and I told you I stopped reading comments. I used to read comments. I used to reply to comments. I stopped doing it. You, however, looked at the comments on that video and may have been a little shocked about how people responded. What goes through your mind when you see feedback in written form about a show you've done?
I mean, any feedback is good feedback. Positive or negative, somebody went out their way to weigh their opinion on you, period. And so, like, I don't necessarily look at it as a bad thing if it's a negative comment. Like, because at the end of the day, that person commented, you took 10 to 15 seconds out of your day to write down what you felt about me, period. Yes. Positive or negative. So it's not to any negative comment. I don't look at it and be like, well, you're taking the time to listen to me. But at the same time, like, I take it with a grain of salt. I typically don't look at comments. I'm not going to lie. Like, other than Locked On Buckeyes, any show I do isn't really necessarily a whole bunch of comments anyway. But I decided, you know, probably you posted it, I listened to it, and probably like 3 hours later, I found myself on YouTube. Oh, man, this got some comments, some interactions, got some views. Let me see what people are saying. And I looked, I read every single one and responded to the ones that liked it, that appreciate your feedback. And then the ones that were harsh, I just laughed and was like, God, this is why I don't look at comments. I guess. Just learned a lesson learned. Won't go back here again.
Man, people are so vicious in them comments. They think,
behind the screen, though, that's why I take it with a grain of salt. It's easy to be vicious behind the screen. Like, it's easy to feel so one way about your opinion because you're behind the screen. Like, you're not gonna, if you and me do Locked On Buckeyes and have that same conversation in a cafeteria with an audience, that audience ain't gonna yell out the same things that they put in the comments. Nope. It's not gonna happen. So I also respect that part, that like, man, I'm not gonna argue with people back on social media. Like, you're probably somewhere in Wyoming. I'm sitting here somewhere in Dallas. What we really going to do? We can argue, say what we going to do all day. What you really going to do? You're in Wyoming. I'm in Dallas. I'm not arguing with you. It's not good for neither one of our healths. I'm not ruining my day. I'm not ruining your day. You have your opinion. I got mine. Let's keep it moving.
Mo, you're actually in Dallas, and man, you are setting me up so well on things I want to say and keep moving forward with this conversation. You're in Dallas, and you recently had the opportunity this year to not only get credentialed for any major event, major sporting event, but you're also hosting the Believe in Mass podcast, a part of the Believe Network. How did you could take as much time as you need, but how did you get those opportunities?
All right, so the opportunity with the rugby team, the Dallas Jackals, was random, weird, and I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was fake. I thought it was like, if I click the link, they're going to get my social security number. For the simple fact, I never put myself out there to attend a Jackals game and cover and be media. So, but kind of went ahead, went out on the limb, followed through. I was almost about to talk myself into not emailing them back because I'm like, this can't be real. But then I emailed them back. I was like, let me see what they say. And then from there on, I'll talk to my wife, see what she say. They emailed me back. Everything seemed legit. Then it's a couple days go by leading up like that week. Mind you, an opportunity like this never happened to me before. So I'm anxious. So like when you tell me we're going to get you the tickets on Sunday and it's Wednesday and I ain't really heard from you, like I'm like, oh, man, I thought this was going to be a great opportunity. It's not falling through. And then like Thursday, boom, they hand the tickets. They let me bring a guest. So that opportunity, and then with the Believe in Mavs, I'm not going to lie. Like, I shot for – they gave me the stars, in a sense. I shot for just a foot in the door. I just knocked on the door and requested a foot in. Hey, let me get in here. Let me put my foot in this door and watch what I do for you. I applied to work with Believe to cover SMU. Why did I do to cover SMU? Because nobody's covering SMU. How can I find a way to be a part of a network like Believe, get my name out there? You got to dare to be different. If nobody's covering SMU, I could do that. If nobody's really covering TCU, I could do that. Started, you know, emailed them, applied and emailed them where I live, who I can cover. They email me. That'd be great. You know, SMU, nobody's covering SMU. How do you feel about them going to the Big 12? Or the ACC, I'm sorry. How do I feel about it? And I think that answer actually made them change direction, because after I responded back to that email, was like, actually, you know what? How would you feel about covering the Dallas Mavericks? And I'm at the gym. Like, and I'm emailing back and forth. I'm at the gym. And they're like, well, how would you feel about covering the Dallas Mavericks? I'm like, well, sure, that'd be great. Said, okay, great. This is what you need to do. And I was like, all right, I just was trying to get in with a quality network like Believe and do whatever it took. And I raised my way up. Maybe, you know, I go from SMU to maybe the Dallas Wings to maybe you start getting bigger as far as how many fans there are. So no disrespect to the WNBA, but like when you're trying to climb the ladder, like, okay, if he covered the SMU, like you move it to the professional realm, let's locally Dallas Wings and maybe Dallas Stars, let's get the two sports where we don't have as much eyes on. Then maybe it goes from there to like the Rangers and the Mavericks. And then maybe the ultimate goal is the Cowboys. Like, you know, there's levels to this in these Dallas teams. But when they were like, you know what, let's scratch the SMU conversation. Are you want to do the Mavericks? I'm like, yeah, I mean, dang, it kind of sucks. Like, I didn't say this to them, by the way. But I'm like, dang, it kind of sucks the timing, because I'm like, man, the Mavericks season might be about to be over. And I'm about to create content, jump into the world of Mavericks fans. So thank God the Dallas Mavericks are going to the Western Conference Finals. Because since I've started this show in the second round, y'all have made the way of producing content easy, because no content is easier to produce for a sports team than when they still playing. So as long as the Mavericks keep winning, I got quality content and we ain't got to focus on the summer. So Mavs keep winning. But yeah, that's how I ended up believing Mavs. Like, I thought it was going to be a Believe in SMU type deal, and I was going to have to grind it out this summer and football season and basketball season, really dive into being SMU. And they kind of were like, scratch that. What their mind frame was of a guy coming in, just trying to get a foot in the door and let's kind of get grace him with something else. What their thought behind it was, not sure. And it doesn't matter. They gave me an opportunity. And so I've committed to, I'm going to take it and run with it. They're not going to be disappointing me. This is the first like major opportunity where I feel like my foot's in the door to kick it down and let the world know who Mo Murphy is on a consistent basis. Cause I feel like Locked On Buckeyes is my, like, if I ever start, like if I hit rock bottom in content, like I feel like, all right, whenever Jay asked me to get on Locked On Buckeyes though, I can get it back going. But now, like, this is a, it's almost like you're locked on Buck for the Mavericks fans. Yeah. Like, I got to build this up because it was out of commission for so long, and they got me building it up. And so this is raising a professional team from the ground with a great network. So I'm definitely going to embrace it, and I've enjoyed it up to this point, and I enjoy doing it. But, yeah, I was shooting just to – I knocked on the door and asked, could I stick my toe in real quick? And they gave me the way of the land to kind of kick the door down. So that's how I ended up doing Believe in Mavs.
Last thing here for you, Mo. You are a person like me that you have goals. I have goals in what I want to do in podcasting and media. You have goals, I'm sure. We not spoke about them, but I'm sure you have your own personal goals in your career that you would like to accomplish. What are a few of them?
Man, at the end of the day, bro, like, man, my thing is I want to get paid to do something I love doing. And I love talking sports. So, you know, I want to use, basically, bro, my goal is to take this Believe in Mavs opportunity, kick the door down, and see where it goes from there. Get some media credentials, end up sidelines at NBA games, end up in them press conferences. I'm not going to lie. There's two people I see doing things, and that's the route I'm trying to take. It's you and Couch Coach. Mm. Man, what I've watched y'all do, and you know, I messaged you on the side. This was a while ago, but like, dang, bro, I see you doing all this stuff. What is it that you did to get these opportunities? Because I see you. And like, I respect, I love it. I love to see it. But what is it that I could do to get an opportunity like that, that you do? And so like, really, you and Couch Coach were the two people that really wanted me to see that it's possible. Like, yeah, it's possible from the position that I started in to be in those press conferences, to be interviewing these athletes, to be on the sidelines, to be working for the Kokomo Post and covering all the Indiana teams locally where you're at. Like, I seen it was feasible going the same route essentially that I've went. So paying attention to y'all two is kind of like made me map out what I want my goals to be. And it's really just, I want to be attached to a team. I want to be attached to a franchise. I want to be attached to a fan base. I want to cover them. I want to be the voice.
Yeah.
Now, if you tell me it's the Dallas Mavericks and I'm a voice of the Dallas Mavericks for the next 30 to 40 years, and that's what's written down in my obituary, and I made a good living from it, provided for my family, and everybody's happy, man. Like, and that's the thing that was major on my obituary is you were the voice of the Dallas Mavericks for 40 years since you were 30 years old. Then my goal in life, I would have took the opportunity, kicked down the door, and I would pass peacefully if that was I would pass knowing I did everything I wanted to do.
Mo, I got a question here for you. I literally last thing here. Does it help you seeing people your color accomplish and do the things you want to do?
100%. Like 100% that matters. And now, mind you, I'm mixed. So when it comes to, I know like I'm seen more as black. Like, I guess you could say I'm more in tune on my black side, but don't get me wrong. Like, my mother is white and my mother is the first woman I've loved. Like, we are click tight to this day, strong relationship. So it has nothing to do with a black or white thing, but I know how people see me,
right,
and everything. Like, so yeah, when I do see a Jay Stevens or a Couch Coach, or you go to the highest level and you see a Shannon Sharp or a Stephen A. Smith or Chris Broussard, like those are like Chris Broussard and Stephen A. Smith were my bro. They're my role models since I was a kid. Like, I always wanted to be like Chris Broussard or Stephen A. Those were my role models. Like, if I'm not going to be the next LeBron, I'm going to be the next Stephen A. or the next Chris Broussard. So seeing those guys, seeing Rob Parker, all ultimate respect.
Dog, I love Rob Parker, man.
And he's going for the city and where he's from with Detroit. Like, seeing a Rashad Phillips be a part of that. Like, some of these black guys that are in this content creation space, whether it's on radio or whatever it is, that's still content. And I don't want to disrespect act like what they doing on Fox Sports 1 is like what I'm doing on TikTok. But I'm just saying in this. And so to see these guys and see these black guys take it and kick these doors down. Yes, it does motivate me for the fact because a lot of times colored males in this industry can get to feel like our backs are against the wall. There's not a lot of opportunity for us. So when I see a Jay Stevens, a Couch Coach, a Rob Parker, a Chris Broussard, a Stephen A. from the totem pole of the most relatable to the highest of high peaks that you can reach in this business. Yeah, that motivates me and understands you can reach it. Like, don't let a couple people who failed and, oh, it's because, you know, they don't want our kind in this space, man. Don't ever listen to that. Because if we that good, they going to let you in the space. Look at you. Look at Couch Coach. Look at y'all. They letting y'all in the space because you that good. And you're a black man. Both of y'all are black men. Couch Coach comes in here with dreads, a beard.
Yes.
Like everything against what they would say we don't want in this media space. And look at him. He kicks the door down. He's interviewing NASCAR drivers and soccer players and WNBA. Like, he's doing, you're doing it on the same side from high school to college to pro. Like, so for y'all to be able to do it, yeah, I see that. And it's a different respect.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a diss to any non-black content creator, because I love them too, and there's plenty that I listen to. But it's a different respect when I see a Jay Steve as a couch coach, a Chris Broussard, a Stephen A. grind, get it out the mud, and kick the door down, than it is a Skip Bayless or somebody in that cloth. Like, you get what I'm saying. But yeah, it is different, and it's a different respect. I respect it a lot more when a minority kicks the door down than I do somebody that we would say already was three steps ahead. You didn't have to kick the door down. You got to knock, walk right through. We got to kick it down. There's a difference. So yeah, it is a different respect when I me doing it, but when I see y'all doing it, like, yeah, I salute it a lot harder. Cause I think it was harder. I think it was harder for you to get the opportunities that you got. I do. Like, and maybe it wasn't, and maybe everything was handed to you, but I don't think so. I don't believe that. I seen the journey. So from outside looking in, like, yeah, I got to respect, because man, if Jay can do it as a black man, why can't I? And it's not I'm better than Jay. When I say that, some people will be like, what are you saying? You're better than? No. But it's like, if he can do it, I can do it. If he can do it to the highest, and maybe I'm a step under, if he can make $1 million, I can make 750,000. Like, so just seeing you guys be in that space, understand. I mean, come on now. Y'all are covering high school sports and NASCAR and all that. Y'all are in rooms you would have never been in 15 right. years ago. So, yes, right. See, being that and seeing y'all do it 100%, it is a major difference in why I keep going.
Really appreciate Mo coming on the show. This is something that we're going to do more of. You guys know we're going to have Iron Eagle and other local Indianapolis sports media personalities on the show in the summer, but I want to get my guys on, the guys we've been doing stuff with for a long period of time, Mo being one of them, and just getting their journey, diving into it. And trust me, this will not be the first time we have an interview with Mo, and Mo discussing his podcasting journey and his career in media, because I want to do this yearly, Mo, once a year.
Hopefully next time I'm where you're at right now, and you're where we want to be, you know, at the end game. Like, hopefully I do stay two or three steps behind you, but as I'm two or three steps, it's still, we both ascended.
Hey, that's hopefully, it.
Yeah. And if you at the top first, and it's like, well, cool. Here's my thing. Just real quick.
Yeah.
I want everybody I love, and I want everybody that I create content with and stuff to make it. And here's why. I feel like this is, you got it. If I kick the door down and people love Mo, what are you going to do? Do you know anybody else that can do what you do? And yes, I got this person. So if I'm at the top, and everybody else isn't, I got the keys though. I can bring people. So when everybody winning and eating and getting to the top, I look at it like I'm just next. Like, it's his turn and then it's my turn. So if I'm three, four steps behind you right now, you ascending, we're ascending. And once you reach the top, I'm like, all right, one did it. Now it's my turn. Like, a guy did it. He's at the top. Now it's my turn. Let him enjoy the top. I'll meet him there. And then we just flourish together. I don't want to ever chase. I don't want to be in competition with nobody that I create content with that I genuinely got love for. It's not a competition. If you make it to the top, I'm not coming for your spot. I'm just coming to add a chair to sit next to you. That's it. Like, so I it's never, I don't hate on anybody. If somebody make it to the top and I never do, shout out to that person. I hope everybody does. We know that's not the case. Everybody's not going to make it. If everybody did, I don't know what America and this world would be like if everybody could make it in their careers and fields and reach the peak. But I do. I am a genuine person. I want everybody to reach the top. Everybody that I know, work with, and all that, reach the top, because everybody that reaches the top, that's just another key to open another door for somebody else to get their foot in the door.
Mo, I'm glad you came on the show. I really enjoyed this. I'll have to do this again next year to do a yearly check-in on what you're doing in sports media. Thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, 100%, bro. Thank you for having me.
Mo and I have done a lot of shows together, and I think I enjoyed this one as much as I have enjoyed any show with Mo. Getting to hear the stories, getting to hear doing a live show with his daughter, getting to hear things that he didn't do so well when he first started, to what it means for him to cover the Dallas Mavericks right now for the Believe Network. I love these stories. They're really fun to hear and to learn about. We're going to have more of them on this show over the next few months and years down the road. Hope you're along for the ride. Hope you enjoy it as much as I do. And if you have some people you want to hear on the show, maybe career-wise and things they have done as broadcasters or podcasters or writers or whatever it may be, DM me at jstevens07 on the Instagram and on the Twitter. Also, email me jstevenspod@gmail.com. Just let me know. I want to hear your recommendations, and we'll do what we can to get them here on the show to hear their stories too. Thank you for listening to this very special episode of the J. Stevens Podcast. Episode 296 is complete. We'll see you next time.